So I'm on the highway and I got about 2.5-3 hours left to drive. So let me just do a little message here. You'll probably see a shift in my messages. It's going to be more grace oriented and more just communication oriented, like how people should communicate with each other. I've actually had a situation in life where I was able to work in an industry that has taught me a lot about communication with all kinds of people, you know? And not only that, the rideshare taught me how to deal with people too. And the online forums, people making comments, and through the years, people that really cared about me. And people I cared about, you know, I care about their soul, their spirit, their well-being, and they cared about me. And over the years, I've dealt with it in other capacities. And I really have come to the conclusion that the Illuminati, the Freemasons, Jesuits, something, the devil, whatever you want to call it, and it could just be the flesh mind. Everybody's in, it's like a dog eat dog world that everybody's out survival, you know, survival of the fittest, you know. And so it kind of hardens the heart, and people have relationships that break apart, and they go into it without communication or without real love, and with all the narcissism and all the sociopaths, psychopaths, everybody's just trying to gaslight, future fake, and pretend to be something that they have no intention of doing, you know. And then you got family problems, in-laws, so you're raised in a family that creates a trauma, a childhood trauma that goes with you your whole life. In the last year, I've really studied those childhood trauma patterns, and there's only like 4 or 5, I think, and everybody has them to some degree, even raised in a good family, even if they're raised in a born-again Christian family, there still seems to be trauma, you know. Like I said, it's almost as if the church has tried to hide this. It's almost as if the church has tried to hide it, because why would we have to go on YouTube to learn about narcissism? Why would we have to go on YouTube to learn about childhood trauma? Why would we have to go and learn about doing the inner work? And I know it's a new age word, doing the shadow work, but what this, all that's really saying is look at your sin nature, and why are you depressed? Why are you fearful? Why are you in doubt? Why are you worried? Why are you pick anything? Why do you live in fear? Why do you have the scarcity mindset? Why do you have the whatever it is? And my messages will resonate with, because the way my gift works, my message will resonate with a lot of different people and different topics. And you might think, well, I'm talking about you. No, I'm not. I'm just talking in general about what I've seen in life. And we all might not, even if we didn't have childhood trauma, we might have trauma from a job. We might have trauma from a Jezebel spirit on the job. Even the women. See, the saved women, there's Jezebels on the job that try to turn the saved women to a Jezebel. We might do the, like the Katy Perry song, the harlot riding the beast, trying to turn the man into the woman and the woman into the man, you know? And it's like this whole society's upside down, but it's very rare to find somebody that can see through it and understand it. It's very rare. And then when you do meet them, they're usually far away. You might have to talk to them online. It's like the salt of the earth. We're all spread out all over the place. When you meet somebody who sees through the game, they're in another city or state or country or something, you know? But what I've learned in the career, in communication, especially during the pandemic, I saw people under trauma. I actually saw it. I had a good environment, a work environment, where I didn't have to take any jab or anything, but I was able to, they did force us to do the mask, but that's all right. I mean, it wasn't really all right, but it was all right, because I had to sacrifice something to stay in the game. It's all about staying in the game. It's all about longevity. But anyway, you have to play the game. It's the devil's system. You have to play the game. And then they want you to, the devil's system wants you to put the mask on and be fake. So you have to do the eight-hour fake insanity. And even if you do rideshare, you have to smile and say, thank you. Appreciate you dropping those french fries in my floor. I just vacuumed it. But have a good day, you know. You have to do the fake smile even with rideshare. And so, and you might have in-laws. You got to do the fake smile on a family reunion or a funeral or whatever. But you, by the grace of God, people find a match or I don't know if you call it a soulmate or something. And y'all start to jive. And even if you don't, by the grace of God, He'll give you peace. Even if you don't find somebody that you can communicate with or whatever. But back to what I was saying, I had the opportunity through the pandemic where I saw people having to move. They lost their job, they lost their house, they had to move to another state. They were all under trauma, and you could just see it in their face. They were under trauma. So because we dealt with it every day, me and the staff, I started having compassion with people because I started seeing that it was out of their control. You know, the debt money. People don't know about the debt money system, and the whole system's crashing and burning, but it's a controlled crash, and it's for the poorest people or for the middle class, because the rich people are not crashing. The controlled crash. And so that controlled crash goes back to the same thing that happened a long time ago. And I've lost my words on who it was. Was it Genghis Khan? It was a Khan, K-A-H-N.
A mile, continue straight to stay on I-85 North.
One of the cons, it was scorched earth. He would go in and just destroy everything. Scorched earth. And one out of six people are descendants of Khan. That was way back, right? So they're doing a controlled scorched earth. Hold on. They're doing a scorched earth, but it's controlled scorched earth. You see it over in Hawaii. You see it in California. You see it in the floods. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows. So you'd see the controlled scorched earth. You see it as clear as all get out. And so the scorched earth is happening, and it's always been happening. It's never gone away, because Khan, the descendants of Khan, are beasts. And if a person doesn't get saved, they become a brute beast even more and more and more. And what is a brute beast? It's a human being that has no compassion, does not want to sacrifice for anybody else, but they want everybody to sacrifice it for them. And they have no concern for God, the gospel, truth, righteousness, doing what's right, treating your neighbor as yourself, all that stuff. They have no concern for anybody else but their agenda. In other words, when you build a city, if you go and build a city, right, you should have concern for the safety of the citizens. But if a brute beast builds the city, they don't care. And you see that in countries all over, you know, in China, in Africa. You see that Russia's got some civilized cities. USA, civilized cities. We actually love our enemy. We go in and we try to help our enemy. Now, it depends on who's in charge. If the Democrats in charge, they just do scorched earth too. They want to scorch everything because that's con. I don't know if it was Genghis Khan or who, but it was one of the cons, and it was probably Genghis Khan because that's the only word, only one I can think of that has that name. K-A-H-N. And you see all the movies in Star Trek, you'll see the cons, the brute beast characters with the name Khan, K-A-H-N. Why? Genghis Khan, scorched earth. And so we're under a controlled scorched earth, even though there's no such thing as scarcity law. There's no scarcity. Going down the highway, you can put on the median, you can put watermelon from let's say you go on 85 from all the way from Florida to New York or wherever 85 goes, you can put watermelon on the side and fruit trees and everybody could eat for free. But they don't want to do that. You can still sell it at the grocery store, but people could go pick food. You know, the Old Testament, let the women and the poor.
There's a stalled vehicle ahead.
Let the women and the poor glean the edges of the field. That was an expectation of the people of Israel. If some rich guy had a field, the outer edge, as long as they didn't go in too deep, the outer edge, they'd grab some corn and whatever for free, you know. They could glean the outer edge. And that's why when I'm talking, if the stuff you've never heard, I've done a lot of research. I mean a lot of research. If you can't grasp everything that I say, please just glean what you can glean, you know? It's so deep. It's so bizarro land. It's hard to even believe. I had these two Mustangs. One Mustang and one Chevrolet Camaro and a Mustang tailgating me speeding down the highway. It always happens. And, you know, it used to be us. We used to act that stupid, you know. We all been there. And so, scorched earth is happening now. It's a controlled demolition. But it's to make the rich richer, and it's to keep the USA from going to war because, yeah, 12 people died in some of those cities. I'm not justifying it, but I promise you, if they don't do it, they know this because of the debt money system and the 2%, 3% inflation every year is getting worse and worse. And even though it's free, everything's free, but they made it with technology that you got to have a phone, you got to have a car, you got to have a job, you got to have this. Why do you even need a job? Why not build you a log cabin out in the woods and live off the land? Because that's a harder life. They made it so easy, but at the same time, they've got the inflation that makes it harder. But if you can pay off your property and live debt free as much as you can, it's a lot easier than just living out on the field and farming land. And so they know that. And so then they control the farmers, they control the oil, they control the gas, they control the solar panels or whatever, they control everything, industry. Because the devil wants a scorched earth scarcity. There's no scarcity. Look to your right, look to your left. You see unlimited trees. You can actually eat tree bark. You can take the outer layer, cut the next layer, and fry it in a pan like bacon. You can eat the tree bark. You can eat grass. There's unlimited out there. If you walk out far enough, you're probably going to find wild onions. You're going to probably find all kinds of wild stuff that's healthy. A wild onion might be a better, if you cut it up and let it sit 10 minutes, it might be a better antibiotic than, what's that other one called? Penicillin or something. But anyway, so I found out in the industry that I had been in for so long that people are under trauma. And some of the trauma they caused by them for themselves because they were ignorant, like we all were, about what's going on. Some of the trauma was caused by the scorched earth theory. They're scorching earth. Some of the trauma is caused by inflation. People can't believe that the government is out to get them. Instead of helping them, they think the government loves them. And if it was a true government, yeah, Like I said, if you build a city, you should build it safe for all citizens, not just for the mayor of the city who gets all the money, you know? And usually you find in a small town, there's less accountability, everybody's paying off each other, and the mayor's a fat cat, rich is all good out, you know? Long story short, there's a controlled demolition, controlled scorched earth. Genghis Khan never died, if that's his name. Khan is definitely the name. And so it's always a scorched earth because it's a devil system. It's always brute beast. It's a devil system. It's always the flesh mind persecuting the spirit mind. Devil system. Period. It's a devil system. It's a devil system. And so in a devil system, what's going to happen? Trauma. Childhood trauma. Society trauma. Man-made machines falling apart trauma. And if you create backup systems, you're insulated a little bit. But even if you have a couple of backup systems going on, there's still trauma in that because you got to manage all those backups, and it's a lot of work. If you have two cars, you got to manage two vehicles. If you got two houses, you got to manage two houses. If you got two jobs, you got to manage two jobs. You got to balance. It's a balancing act no matter what you do. So even if you have a backup system, there's trauma in that. Elon Musk got, what, 5 businesses? He's got to fly here and there. There's a lot of stress on that, unless he has a good CEO that is in line with his beliefs about his job. I don't necessarily agree with, I don't like Elon necessarily. I mean, I like to see a CEO that's able to run a business. That's really makes you look up to somebody who's able to do that. But even the businesses are like that, are scorched earth. They'll fire. Okay, the investors want a profit. We want a profit this quarter, and if you don't give us a profit, we're going to invest our money somewhere else. So what do? They fire 1 million employees, or 100,000 employees, or 10,000 employees to get a profit. And then the people are still working. They have to do double work, sacrifice. Somebody has to pay. So by us buying stocks, we're supporting the system. People say, well, I don't like BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard. Okay, I don't either. But we're putting money in the 401k, and they own all of us, all the stocks in the whole world. So we're supporting them. Even though we don't like them, we're still supporting them. And that's how they've got this system set up. The devil is very slick. You got to use their money. You got to be on their grid. You got to be on their phone. The 666 is all really pretty much here because you can't live without a cell phone now. I remember when I came back into the real world from selling books on Amazon that I had a little flip phone or something. It wasn't a flip phone. It was a little just regular phone. And I had to go get a job. Once all the Shekinah glory, I had to go get a job, and because it knocked me down, and I couldn't hardly function. And for 6 years, I couldn't hardly function into both the spirit world and the natural world. It was hard to function. But I got on the job, and people are, what kind of phone you got? It was a little black phone with some red buttons. They said, you don't have a smartphone? I said, what's a smartphone? Because I was so busy with my job. I said, what is a smartphone? What is that? And they showed me theirs. I said, that's cool. You can just look up information from your phone. Yeah, that easy, yeah. So I went and bought a smartphone, and had to have one ever since. And so the 666 is here. You've got to tie into their system to survive. The mark of the beast is foreshadowed right now on your cell phones, on your Android, on your Apple. the apple goes back to Genesis 3. Eve ate the apple. Android, a droid, a machine. So you got the machine. In your hand is the foreshadow of the future. Eve ate the apple. Apple phone. It's also the foreshadow of the past. It's all happening now. It's just a culmination. So you got the Apple phone. Eve ate the apple. You got the Android, which is what? The machine man, which is what? The flesh mind. So the flesh mind in the Doctor Who series, the androids wanted to get consciousness. But they couldn't because they're robots. So they just mimicked it and they wanted to take over. And all the androids wanted to kill the humans. So the machine man is going to want to kill the humans. Eat the apple. Whatever that fruit is or whatever it is, it's the devil trying to bring mankind down. Everything's trying to bring mankind, and it's actually mankind destroying himself, because the energy of the flesh, man's inventions, man's systems, they always destroy themselves. And so unless you have communication and accountability, you're going to destroy yourself. If you really have people that care about you and they're telling you the truth, hey, slow down, calm down. Don't make a rash decision. Don't do this. Just trust God. It'll work out. Because the system's trying to put you in fear and doubt and worry and scarcity lie and all that stuff. It's a real thing, people. So the maze is so large and so big, but you can blame it on the devil, but it's actually mankind doing it to himself. And the devil might be leading it. The demonic spirits might be leading it, but man's making the choice to have the easy way, right? If you were out on a farm, independent of the system, you might die at 40 years old because you killed yourself working so hard, but you were free. And to leave this place is actually a blessing. To leave this place is a blessing. The ones you leave behind that you do love, you want them to be secure. There's only securities in God, but you want to try to leave them set up where they're debt-free and they can function and maybe have some dividends coming in, but then you're supporting BlackRock again or have Social Security or whatever. I was raised around people that didn't hold a job, and they never had 401k, and they never had Social Security because they didn't hold a job long enough. It's really sad. You better get a job. You better get a job paying that Social Security, and you get like 40 points, and you're set. If you don't have a steady job paying Social Security, you better go get one. I don't care if it's a part-time job. You better go get one. 2 part-time jobs if you have to. You need to pay into the system. I know it's the devil's system to be able to, when you get older, to benefit from it. And I know that it might not be here, but you can't always say that. I mean, every generation says it ain't gonna be. It's gonna in 2022, no more Social Security. In 2024, no more Social Security. They're always saying that, but I promise you, there's going to be to keep that system alive, there's going to be a scorched earth somewhere, a war or something somewhere to keep the system going. That's how bad it is. They got to kill people to keep their system. The government has to keep their system going. And whether it's to make you sick long-term as well as to take people out in another nation or whatever, you know.
In half a mile, continue straight to stay on I-85 North. Continue straight to stay on I-85 North.
I got sidetracked, but what I learned in the career that I've been in is I see people coming.
Continue on I-85 North for 137 miles.
60, 120. That's about 2 hours left, I guess. So, I was in an industry that I was able to see people come and go and see all different kinds of people, different walks of life, and they were all beat up by the system. And they were confident until that moment that everything was going to go smooth. But every like 10 years, the bottom drops out and everybody has to reboot and start over, usually, unless you already planned for it. And I planned for it my whole life because I kept seeing it every 10 years. Oh no, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. It was a manufactured collapse, big collapse. So every 10 years, they have to create a collapse, every 10 years. Because if not, the system would implode. But every 10 years, they create a collapse, I promise. And it's not always 10, it might be 7 years. But 7 to 12 years, they create a collapse of some kind. Because the system cannot keep going in a debt system, a debt money system. And so, I'm here in South Carolina. There's this peach on the side of the road. A peach. A water tower that painted into a peach. Here's a good example of the scarcity lie that they tried to promote. They say, oh, there's a water shortage. Do you realize there's never been a water shortage? Maybe in the desert, but there's never been a water shortage. It might not rain as much somewhere, but they can make rain now, but deep under the ground, there's water. And you're breathing water. You're actually breathing water. You can put a dehumidifier in your house and get a gallon of water in about 5 hours. You can put a piece of plastic outside before in the dew in the morning. I remember when I was in the office mindset, I was sitting in the office and I'd have to put dress clothes on and go to work. And I'd walk out and the grass would be wet. I'd get my dress shoes wet. And I was like, that's when I either was before I got saved or early saved. And I'd say, oh, I'd be all mad because the water on the ground got my shoes wet. But that was wrong. That's God's provision. You can put a piece of plastic outside on the ground and make it into an angle, and you can collect all the water you want in the early morning. You can actually take a clean sock or a rag or something and just wipe it on the plastic and squeeze it and put it in a bucket. You have water everywhere. And why they want to go to Mars, which I don't even think it's even possible, why they talk about leaving the Earth. You came from the Earth. You're never leaving the Earth. Nobody's leaving the Earth, period. This is where you were born. Nobody can leave the Earth. If you believe the Bible, you're not leaving the Earth. You're not going to Mars. You're not going to the moon. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to Venus. You're not going anywhere. You're not. God brought you from the clay. He's going to renovate this earth. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. You're not the world without end, the Bible says. So if the Bible says it's a world without end, that means there's no such thing as scarcity because it just keeps going. Go to the ocean. Fish everywhere. Go out in the woods. Game everywhere. It's game on, people. So if you're living in fear about scarcity, you need to renew your mind. You need to watch some bushcraft for 3 years. Watch some bushcraft videos for 3 years and you'll realize there's no such thing as scarcity. And all you really need is a knife. You just need a knife to survive. And if you watch bushcraft for 3 years, you'll come back and you'll say, praise God, books told me right. All you need is a knife. Everything you need is right out in the woods, right beside you. You just have to know how to do it. Now, I didn't do it physically, but I studied it mentally, and I know it's real. It's all, they put these movies out to make you believe it's scarcity, and there's not scarcity. It's a man-made scarcity for the rich to get rich. Anyway, I got some weird traffic here. I've been talking for 29 minutes. I learned to have compassion on people who were either ignorant, not saved, under trauma. And so to segue into my real content that I wanted to talk about here is that if you can sit down and communicate with somebody, you don't have to agree with everything. Nobody's going to agree with you 100%. You can love somebody and you don't have to agree with them 100%. You're never going to find that. Everybody has their own. God made everybody different. Everybody's not going to be. You could go to a Baptist church, sit on the. You could be sitting in a Baptist church for 20 years, and two deacons sit down, they start talking, and they're going to find something to disagree with. They would agree with 99%, but there's always something they're going to disagree with. So you can't put somebody in your box. They have to. And if you wouldn't want them in your box, because you need the contrast to grow. So this is what I'm saying. Communication is communion. And communion is together, union. And so if you're in a communication state with anybody, whether it's a marriage, a church, a friend, a job, everybody has to grow. Now, if it's just two flesh creatures, everybody's going to be cutting each other. If it's two spirit creatures, they're going to be sharpening each other. And so if you can sit down with somebody and you can communicate with them, let's say you're talking to somebody and you're sitting there face to face and they say something and then they say something else and you say, well, I'm not attacking, but did you catch yourself? You just contradicted yourself.